Okay, let's move to 828 and 829.
828, establish rules for use of the Duckworth Dock moorage, and 829, amend cooperative agreement with the Oregon State Marine Board to restrict nighttime use of the Duckworth Dock except on certain days for a trial period of 1 year.
So as our team comes up, let me set the context for this. The Duckworth Dock formerly was known as the Convention Center Dock. The council named the dock in honor of our trailblazer center, Kevin Duckworth, who died of heart failure in 2008. It was funded by the Marine Board, envisioned as a place for water taxis, and for that idiosyncratic reason, the dock is considered a PBOT, or pure transportation facility, though I think PBOT would be the first to say that the recreational facilities are not the core of their mission. The ordinances that we're going to look at today provide a new strategy for managing the dock. Greg Jones and Andrew Carlson from PBOT are here. We also, I think, want to make sure we thank some folks, particularly Sheriff Dan Staten and Lieutenant Travis Goldberg of the River Patrol. They have gone to some considerable effort to help us manage this shared public space in a reasonable and sane way. And also, I know Nate Takara, our fire marshal, is here, and the harbor master reports to him. Appreciate their good work as well. So this has been an inter-bureau effort to try to manage a public space that is a scarce resource and an important part of how Portlanders connect to the river. So with that, I'll turn it over to the two of you and take it from there.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hale, City Council. Andrew Carlstrom. I'm the PBOT Employee Services Division Manager, and I'll give you the information for both 828 and 829. Item 828 provides the city with enforcement rules and mechanisms to provide enforcement at the Duckworth Dock, again, which is anticipated to be provided by the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office. Item 828 adds new code sections to Title 19, which is harbors, and the five areas that we would like to highlight briefly in the proposed code are, one, the code, and as well as the amendment to the agreement in 829, specifies that overnight moorage of up to 72 hours is only allowed on weekends from Friday noon to Monday noon, from the weekend prior to Memorial Day to the weekend after Labor Day. Two, overnight mooring will be prohibited during the remainder of the year. Three, the proposed code also provides the PBOT director with authority to enter into agreements for enforcement by designating persons in charge with the sheriff's office and other agencies. Four, the code provides the PBOT director the authority to issue administrative rules and establish fees. And five, the code provides provisions for exclusions, which is a necessary mechanism for the sheriff's office to provide enforcement at the dock. Item 829 provides an amendment to the city's existing agreement with the Oregon State Marine Board regarding this dock for a trial period of 1 year. And again, the amendment has the same provisions regarding overnight moorage. And the agreement mirrors the code. The agreement amendment will be in effect for a one-year trial period, and during this period, the city will collect relevant information and report to the Oregon State Marine Board. In addition, at the end of the one-year period, the city and the Marine Board will evaluate the trial and determine whether the restrictions will remain, and at that time, the city may request a permanent rule change in the agreement. And finally, if the city's agreement with the Marine Board is not extended after the one-year trial period, the city code in item 828 would need to be amended.
Great. Thank you. Greg, anything to add?
Just that the dock was built at the same time we did the Steel Bridge pedestrian walkway, and the Esplanade was under construction. And it was seen both as a recreational service to boaters, but primarily it was as planned as a part of a river taxi system that never came about. So what we set in place was for a commercial use of that dock, and what we have now is a dock without rules. So we're moving towards a system where we're implementing rules similar to the Parks Bureau rules of the remainder of the docks along the river.
Okay. Great.
I understand that Uber is hoping to introduce a water taxi model in Pacific Northwest sometime soon, and I'm sure we'll be hearing from that anytime.
So, the email just came in this afternoon.
Tax it.
That's right. We'll tax that, too. All right. Any other questions for our staff team? And then if the Sheriff's River Patrol would like to speak, or any, if we have public testimony, if anyone signed up to speak on this. But we've got, any, got anyone signed up, Carla?
Yes. Did you have someone else first? Okay. Yeah, I've got public testimony.
Okay.
I had two sheets. I have Lightning and Steve Whittier on 828.
Okay.
You want to come up first?
Come on up. Thanks, you guys. Stand Thanks. By if you have other questions.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Think Lab. One of the issues I have on this, it's amazing to me that this is not considered for recreational use originally. I find that interesting. They would say water taxis, and I'd like to ask anybody, how many do you see out on the river right now? One of the concerns I have is that what we're seeing here is that this is really being put into place for people that don't have enough money to maybe stay in a marina and tie their boat up. And what you predominantly see at this location is people that they would consider maybe homeless type boaters, people that don't have a place to stay. So now they're going to limit their use here, and basically they'll be dropping their anchors out in the river, and then they'll be told at a certain amount of time that they need to relocate within 5 miles from that location. So they're doing a real good job of cleaning out the people that really need the help the most out on the river. Another concern I have is that when boats come in into this location, is are they going to lock the gate currently at a certain time so they can't access back to the boats? And when the boats are left there, I assume they're going to give proper notice. And then when they're considered derelict, they're probably going to want to take those boats, dispose of them, and then pay the taxpayers or have the taxpayers fund for that disposal of the boats, whether if they sink or not. So I have some environmental issues on this, too. And I always have a problem with Multnomah County River Patrol on the coordination with the city of Portland. In my opinion, I think that Multnomah County River Patrol should be taken over by the city of Portland. And some people may disagree with me on that, but I think that needs to really be looked at very close. Some of the largest overtime hours were attributed to the Multnomah County River Patrol and Suicide Watch. But if you look at River Patrol, a lot of the overtime hours were toward that location. And I would like to see the city take that over. I would like to see the city have an oversight committee on the Multnomah County River Patrol on what they actually do out on the river, have reports provided, and have a close look to see exactly what is happening, because I really think the city of Portland should take a real aggressive and close look at that and take control of it, because I think we're going to have some changes on that levee. We might see them being completely moved out of there. New Orleans, it costs to rebuild that levee close to $18 billion. We're going to see a price tag on this levee along Marine Drive that is going to make people, just their eyes are going to open. And I think they're going to remove a lot of properties through there. And I think it's going to be Multnomah County River Patrol, a lot of those properties down through there. And I think the city of Portland needs to get ready and adjust and take that division over. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Steve Witter. I'm a resident of Portland. I'm a frequent recreational boat user and fisherman on the river, and love to get out and really like the idea of public facilities on the river that folks can use. I'd like to commend the authors of this ordinance for actually returning this facility back to the recreational users as I see it. I had an experience back in 2013 due to the fact that it seems like there are lots of kind of permanent boat residents at this facility. I was out boating with my family one day, and we had a little minor issue with our equipment. And we were cruising downtown, and we thought the Duckworth Dock would be the perfect place to stop off and make that repair. It was fairly early in the morning. And as we decided to stop there, just right before we got there, we noticed that there were lots of boats that seemed to be permanently docked up there, very little room to have access to get to the dock. And it looked like most of the boats were in sort of derelict condition. As we tied up, it seemed like people in the boats were starting to rise and shine. They were in various states of dress, sort of taking care of morning hygiene and all the things you would expect every one of us to do. And just that made me and my wife and especially my young son very, very uncomfortable and sort of leery of actually using the facility. I don't want you to think that I'm intolerant and insensitive of folks with housing issues and actually honor everybody's rights to use public facilities as long as those public facilities are truly public. And at that point, that dock felt like I was trespassing in someone's home or, you know, a place where I belong. So because of the convenience of that dock, we were able to make our repairs and get underway. And I haven't been back to that dock since. I suppose I really support the proposed ordinance in redefining the hours and the use and especially the interagency enforcement aspect of it. So with that, I'd like to thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Carl, do you have others?
For 829, I also had Lightning and Mr. Whittier. You're good?
I don't need comment.
Okay, and then okay. Joe Walsh.
Okay.
For the record, my name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. One of the fears that we have is that, again, we're going to see the solution to the problem is to kick people out. Move them along. Go down the road. Get away from this dock. We have nice people coming to use this dock. You just heard it. We always have these stories of people walking on the street, being hassled by the homeless. Now we have the docks. There were recent stories in the newspapers about people living on their boats. Our fear is that's what this is about. That we now have to take our intolerance off the streets to the river and make sure those people on those derelict boats don't dirty up the river. Don't make it intolerable for me and my wife to go and fix our boat. There are other solutions. It's not an either-or problem. You know, when people whine about the homeless and they whine about people using and living on their boats, come with a solution. Just offer a solution. We do. You don't pay any attention to it. You keep giving it to the nonprofits and spending millions of dollars and then bragging about it, but do nothing except get caught in the process. You hire new people. So you're going to make more rules on the river. Go ahead. You're heading for a wall, people. You're going to run into a wall. Thank you for your time and attention.
Okay. Anyone else? Then let's take a roll call first on 828.
Mayor, before we do that, could you I know that you have been looking into alternative places for people to go who are living on boats. Can you give us an update on that?
Jillian, if that's something, Jillian Detweiler, my staff's been working on this issue, so she might be able to talk about that.
Good afternoon.
There's
a regular meeting now actually convened by the mayor's office. By the governor's office to talk about transient boaters. The direction now seems to be to remain consistent with the priorities that Portland has established for solving homelessness directing resources to homeless populations. And that means outreach to people on boats. Right now, the group does not seem to be leaning toward acquiring a marina or some sort of facility for transient boaters, but trying to find, do outreach to people and help them into housing on land.
But there's a problem because we don't have enough housing. So where are folks supposed to dock if they can't dock here?
Well, they can't anchor in the river. Yeah, they can anchor in the river.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jillian. Okay, let's take a roll call.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
I think it's important to remember that although there's a complicated interagency effort underway here, and I appreciate it, that actually, I think Mr. Witter's testimony really highlighted this, the way the Marine Board finances these projects is they charge recreational boaters a license fee every year. This isn't the only dock of its kind. There are docks all over the river system. And it's simply a fee for service. You pay your registration fee. The Marine Board takes your money and builds docks that you use. It's pretty much of a perfect ratepayer system for those that register their boats. So I have, I think that's a sound system, and this was a unique situation in that it was built for a purpose that didn't materialize, water taxis, and then I think rightly needs to revert to that understanding with boat owners that you pay your registration fee, you get to access docks, whether they're on Government Island or out in front of St. Helens or here in downtown Portland. So I think there's a lot of justice in the way this system works. Aye. And on the second one, please.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
You know, Mayor, just your comments reminds me that Senator Dingfelder worked with the city a few years ago on the other side of the ledger on the point you made, which was we were trying to get a no-wake zone. And because the Marine Board represents the interests just of the motorized community at that time, they didn't see the virtue of a no-wake zone.
Right.
And there was no representative of canoes and you know, non-motorized boats. And Jackie worked on that. And I actually think the composition of the board has now changed to reflect a broader, but to your point, I think still stands that it is people are taxed and services are provided. But there was an ideological problem we ran into on the no-wake zone
right.
when we wanted to protect sensitive habitat in the Willamette. And Jackie was enormously helpful when she was, I think, a committee chair. So. Another great reason that you hired her. So I have that expertise. Aye.
Hales.
Well, if you visited Ms. Detweiler's office yet, you'll notice that she cut a photo out of a story about babies learning to swim, a baby that's been thrown into a pool and is swimming with a funny look on his face or her face. I think it's a him. So we threw Jillian into the pool not long after her arrival on my team here in this office and said, take on this complicated Byzantine intergovernmental issue, and she's done a great job, and I appreciate it. Good work. Aye.